Hello, everyone. It is Al Smith here. I am the founder and director of Bishop Sheen Today. I'm also a writer, and I want to thank you for joining me for this series as we go through meditations from the book Lord Teach Us to Pray. And we're doing this in the season of Advent and taking 26 days to go through the book from cover to cover. And so we're on day two, and so I'm going to share my screen with you, and we're going to share a few meditations from Sheen's 1935 teaching on the Our Father and the Seven Last Words. And so we're kind of in this, I want to say, retreat mode, if that's the right way to address it. And of course, many of you have seen our website, bishopsheentoday.com, and here we have our Advent meditation for 2020, and the book that has been published by Sophia Institute Press, Lord Teach Us to Pray. And each day we give you just a few pages to read, and over the course of the Advent season, you will have completed the book and hopefully been drawn closer into Sheen's writings on praying the Our Father, praying the Mass well, the Holy Hour, Stations of the Cross. And today's reflection, we will continue on the theme of the Our Father. And so we're going to be studying Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread, as it pertains to our Lord's seven last words from the cross. And so again, I have the reflection here in front of me, so I just ask you to follow along at home. Many of you have just closed your eyes and listened to the meditation, but if you feel so inspired to read with me, please do so. And so this is the fourth word from the cross that our Lord spoke on Calvary, along with the fourth petition of the Our Father. And that fourth petition is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the fourth word our Lord spoke from Calvary was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Fulton Sheen writes, in the Our Father, our Lord asked us to resign ourselves to the will of the Heavenly Father on the cross. He now resigns himself to that same divine will. The real lesson hidden in these words is that now and then we face the unintelligible and mysterious things of life, and the only solution is to trust in the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask ourselves such questions as, why should I suffer? Why did God take away my mother? Why is there pain? Why do the innocent suffer? Why does God abandon me? There is no answer on earth except, Thy will be done. Our Lord in this word is reemphasizing the lesson taught in the book of Job. Job was sorely afflicted. He lost his children, his fortune. His wife turned against him. His friends abused him, and his whole body became afflicted with dread. And so he asked the question, why? Why did I not die in the womb? Why did I not perish when I came out of the belly? Why was I received upon the knees? Why was I suckled at the breast? Why is light given to him that is in misery, and life to them that are in bitterness of soul? Job's friends tried to give him human explanations, to solve all of his riddles, to make everything reasonable, and to show how one part of the universe fits every other part. Now, if the book of Job were a purely human document, a trivial poet or a modern dramatist would have made God enter the scene and answer the questions of Job. And yet, when God does come onto the scene, what does he actually do? He does not answer the questions of Job. He asks Job more questions in a way that abolishes all foolish questions. He turns to Job and says, "I will ask thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Upon what are its bases grounded? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Who shut up the seas with doors when it broke forth as issuing out of the womb? When I made a cloud the garment thereof and wrapped it in a mist as in swaddly bands?" Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that thou canst do all things, and no thought is hid from thee. Therefore I have spoken unwisely, and things above measure exceeded my knowledge." God insists on the inexplicableness of everything. The maker of all things is astonished at the things he has made. Instead of proving to Job that it is a world explicable by science, he shows Job that it is as much stranger world than science ever suspected. The refusal of God to explain his design is itself a burning hint of his design. Namely, the riddles of God are more satisfying than the solutions of men. And so in the book of Job, we see he was tormented not because he was the worst of men, but because he was the best. It was Good Friday that was prefigured in the wounds of Job. The lessons for us is this, that many things are inexplicable here below, but there are only the details. For instance, why this pain? Why this loss? Why this sorrow? The general principles remain true and unshakable. God is good, and he wills what is best for the soul. "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" means forsaken only in appearance, not in reality. We may be lonely, but God is never out of our hearing. Our Lord has gone into the forest of suffering and loneliness, but he has left us his footprints there so that we can find the way out. Take God's hand and follow him in the dark, trusting and believing. We cannot say he does not know what it is to be abandoned, for he was abandoned on the cross. Trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when trust is small. Trust him when simply to trust him is the hardest thing of all. And that was the first meditation from today, and hopefully it's speaking to your heart. And the idea of these meditations on the Our Father and the seven last words is hopefully to inspire us a greater appreciation for the Our Father. Sometimes we can just say the Our Father in such a routine way, not really pondering the great meaning of the Our Father. But Sheen is pulling us into this great thought process of pondering the words of the Our Father and reflecting on our Lord's Our Father when he was hanging on the cross. And so we'll continue with the second meditation today. And again, we will be blessed as we continue to go to Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen for this timely wisdom. And this second reflection is comparing the fifth word our Lord spoke from the cross, being "I thirst," with the fifth petition of the Our Father, which is, "Give us this day our daily bread." Archbishop Sheen writes, "Daily bread at Capernaum, Jesus ministered to the needs of men by giving them food for their bodies. He told men to pray for bread. Give us this day our daily bread. But at Calvary, he asked for a drink. Then he gave his gift to the multitude. Now the multitude must give their gift. He had been the giver. Now he would be the receiver. From a torn body, he cries, 'I thirst.' Thirst is the most impatient of all sufferings. There is an imperious urgency about it, a fierce sting. But this was not just a cry for water. We know that once before he asked the Samaritan woman for a drink. But when she drew the waters from the well, there is no record that he took it. He was thirsting for her soul. The lesson seems to be that God needs us. He is perfect, and yet he craves our love. He is all-powerful, and yet he is weak without our love. He is infinitely happy and yet unhappy without us. He is the fountain of everlasting waters, and yet he cries, 'I thirst.' He does not seem to need us. How? Not, of course, in the sense that he is imperfect or incomplete without us, but rather he needs us because we need him. The world is full of such examples. The charitable rich man thirsts for the poor. He does not need the poor man from a worldly point of view. The poor man will take part of his substance. The poor man needs him only for food. But the rich man needs the poor man to exercise his charity. Truly, can he say, 'I thirst? I need you in order to be kind.' In that sense, our Lord thirsts for us because we need him so. He says to us, 'I thirst for you. You, the unmortified, because you need my spirit of sacrifice. You who would have a Calvary with hands unscarred and white have need of my hands, which are pierced and red. I am the Redeemer. To you who would never take up a cross, to you who need the spirit of penance, I cry, 'I thirst.' I thirst for you because your love of pleasure needs my love of sacrifice. I thirst for you because your love of the world needs my love of heaven. I do not thirst for you because I need you, for without you, I never would have had the cross. I do not thirst for you because I need you for my happiness, for without you, there would never have been sin. I thirst for you not because I need you, but because you need me. Why then, when I say I thirst, do you, like the soldier, offer me bitter vinegar and gall?" These words are very sobering, but yet I think they bring us to this realization that we need God. We need God. And as we're in this season of Advent, we start to await for this beautiful coming of the Savior, and that we need him. We need him. And so to finish off our daily meditation, we will say a prayer with our crucifix. And again, during this first week of our retreat, it's important that we start to develop a holy habit of praying before a crucifix, to having a crucifix in our life, to look upon the Lord and to realize that he gave up his life for us. And so I'd ask you to please join me in this prayer before a crucifix. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Behold, O kind and most sweet Jesus, I cast myself upon my knees in thy sight, and with the most fervent desire of my soul, I pray and beseech thee that thou wouldest impress upon my heart lively sentiments of faith, hope, and charity, with true repentance for my sins, and a firm desire of amendment, whilst with deep affection and grief of soul, I ponder within myself and mentally contemplate thy five most precious wounds, having before my eyes that which David in prophecy made thee saying concerning thyself, O good Jesus, they have pierced my hands and feet, they have numbered all my bones. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I pray that these meditations have been beneficial to you. And again, I encourage you, as Fulton Sheen encouraged us all, to get a crucifix in your life, to put one on your desk, to have them in your home, and to take some time to meditate with the crucifix. And so I want to thank you for joining me today, and I'd ask you to continue to journey with us as we go through the book, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And so until next time, may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord look upon you kindly and bring you peace. God love you.